Welcome on back to the Second Helping Podcast, brought to you by Pillsbury Stuffed Waffles, a sweet maple-flavored crispy waffle stuffed with either sausage, egg, and cheese or bacon, egg, and cheese. It's convenient, filled with high-quality ingredients, sold in your local convenience store, already prepared and ready for you to grab in the warmer. We love them. We think you'll love them. Go out and get one today.
Welcome on back to Barstool Breakfast. I'm Willie Colon, and he is...
Large, what's up, Willie?
We also have a bad man in the building, Large. Who is it?
So what we have here is a guy who, when I was growing up, so I'm older than Oscar De La Hoya, obviously.
Shocking.
I'm about to turn 48. Oscar is a very young, very spry, 46 years old. But when I was watching boxing growing up, there was one guy who fought everybody. Like, now we have a problem with boxing where sometimes it's political, sometimes it's not, but people don't often get to fight everybody. So there was one guy who fought everybody. He always looked good doing it. He was a handsome guy, which made some people very, very mad. But, you know, but so it was a guy who came in. So it's Oscar De La Hoya. He started out as a tremendous amateur fighter. He won gold for us in 1992.
Yep.
Then went on to a 39-6 record. Yep. As a professional fighter, he retired. He started Golden Boy Productions, where he's got a stable of fighters, including two of the most electric fighters. Well, more than two of the most electric fighters. But he has, who is now the Golden Boy of fighting right now, in Canelo Alvarez. And he's got the hottest thing going,
Saul,
to Ryan Garcia, yep, which you should be covering that kid in pillows every day. Make sure that he never sees a nightclub. Guys,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, you talk about you being a handsome son of a bitch when you were in the ring. That guy's gorgeous.
Yeah,
Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, he's obviously, he can be my son.
Yes.
He is. I mean, I didn't want to use gorgeous, but I mean,
I will. I'll do it. I don't give a shit. I mean, my life's over. But anyway, thank you very much for coming in here. It's a couple of things that you're in here for. I'm sure, yep, you're getting ahead of it for Canelo's fight versus Kovalev on November 2nd.
Right.
We'll get into that a little bit. I hate this weight jump class, and I'm going to be saying that to a guy who won belts. You won straps in six different weight divisions.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And we have Lomachenko in here every now and again. I know
that
he was,
yeah,
one of the quickest to do it. It's just something that I just don't feel so comfortable about, but we'll get into that. But also, one of the things that you are here for is the American Cancer Society's,
yes,
Real Men Wear Pink campaign.
Well, the Real Men Wear Pink campaign.
Yes, sir.
Which is, I mean, it's, if you think about it, I mean, you know, I challenge everybody, all men, you know, if you're a real man, you know, why not wear pink? You know,
sure,
for a great cause.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a disease that affects everyone. You
breast
know?
Cancer awareness, yeah.
Yeah, and so Breast Cancer Awareness Month is obviously dear to my heart. My mother passed away from breast cancer.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Right before Barcelona 1992, when I won the Olympic gold medal.
Wow.
So this cause is dear to my heart. So this campaign that the American Cancer Society is doing is just it's a great one, because it gets the man involved, you know, and obviously, as you know, awareness is key to hopefully preventing breast cancer.
Absolutely. So you said it's near and dear to your heart. When you look over your storied career, nothing outside of just the boxing part of it, what was your proudest moment inside the ring as a boxer? I like to ask that to people.
Yeah.
What was your proudest moment?
It has to be Olympic gold medal.
Everyone says that. I find that to be crazy.
Absolutely.
Because when you're kind of in there winning your first belt,
right,
or beating Chavez or doing all this stuff, like, you never know. Everyone says it unequivocally.
Yeah.
It's winning the Olympic gold medal.
Well, you know what it is? It's once in a lifetime opportunity. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, you're representing your country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing like listening to the national anthem when you're on top of that podium, you know?
Yeah.
I watched that video over and over, even till this day, of me winning the gold medal and, you know,
and how
receiving,
old were you at this point?
I was just turned 18.
Yeah, I think you're 18.
Wow.
Yeah,
just turned 18.
Wow.
And so just listening to that national anthem is, I mean, it's a surreal moment. It's I mean, to this day I get the chills just watching that video. So there's nothing like it.
Really?
Yeah, there's nothing like it. I mean, look, I've won 10 world titles in 6 different divisions.
Yeah, you did.
I can lose it, I can win it, you know, somebody can take it away. But the gold medal, it's always yours forever, you
right
know. And how many Olympic gold medals are out there?
What's,
not too many.
What's the lowest point of the career for you? I don't ask that too often. Like, what's the most difficult?
Yeah.
I mean, was I mean, I know after the Mosley fight with the testing and stuff, I know that was a frustration.
Yeah, you
know,
that was a frustration, yeah. But when I retired.
Okay, when you retired.
When I retired, man. I mean, I just couldn't believe it because I didn't want to retire. My body, my mind had to retire. Yeah. I was a young 36, maybe. I retired at 36 years old.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, you...
What went on you? Was it the shoulders, knees?
Everything went out. Everything went out. I mean, my mind went out. After,
you say mind, were you just distracted? With?
No. Well, what happened was losing to Pacquiao the way I did. Physically, I was obviously not in shape. Mentally, I was out of it. He destroyed me like in 9 rounds. And so when I made the decision, I was just physically tired, mentally just distraught on what took place. Mm-hmm. And so when I made that decision, because I knew that if I were to make that decision, it's only going to be one time, and that's it. It's either I retire or I don't, or I fight again. Mm-hmm. And when I made that decision, I made it very carefully because I knew that if I would have made a mistake and maybe make, you know, change my mind up the few months later.
To do the Chavez Jr. fight, maybe. Like, remember, there was that whole thing where you might come out, but you never came out.
Never did.
Right.
Never
did. Like Floyd, who keeps double-dutching.
I mean... I've been taunted for many years to come back and you know, a rematch with Floyd, and you know.
Have you ever come close?
I have.
Really?
Yeah.
$100 million.
You know, about 3 years ago.
About
3 years ago, I said to myself, you know what? I'm gonna wake up in the morning. I'm gonna do my training regimen. I'm gonna, you know, go run about 10 miles. So I wake up at 4 in the morning one day. Boom! I'm running 10 miles. I feel great. I go to the gym.
By the way, he said 10 miles long.
Yeah, right off the bat.
It wasn't a small.
I had to do 10 miles.
I told you, I'm a year older than him. Otherwise, I'd go. I'd do 1 mile.
Yes. One fighter steps, we need oxygen.
So that afternoon, I go to the gym. I spar a few rounds, and I'm feeling great. I'm like, whoa, okay. I'm in with this kid. Maybe he's about 25 years old. I'm feeling great. My experience is like, you know, beating him to the punch, and so I feel great. Mm-hmm. Freaking next day, I couldn't wake up in the morning.
Wow. Really?
My back was out. I was sore as hell, you know. So that did it for me, man. It was over.
So does that make you – so when I look down the list, and I mentioned it before you came in here. So if you're looking at names like Mayorga, Yuri Boy Campos, Fernando Vargas, Arturo Gatti, Ike Cordy, Julio Cesar Chavez twice, Macho Camacho, Pernell Whitaker, who is one of my favorite fighters and the best defensive fighter to ever live. But if you look like specifically at a couple – more than just a couple of names on your list, but you look at like Arturo Gatti and Sweet Pea in particular as being dead. Right, and then you see like it's when you lose a friend on Facebook.
Oh, absolutely.
When they pass away, like you're like, oh my God, what happens now? Like you fought guys who have since passed away. When you see a guy like Manny, like Manny Pacquiao, still operating at the level that he seems to be operating on at this, that's got to blow your goddamn mind.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. It's crazy.
It's got to make that loss seem a little bit easier too, because he's still kind of
it's easier, but I mean. When you see him get knocked out by Juan Manuel Marquez with that right hand, I always say to myself, man, that should have been me. You know, like that should have been my right hand landing on his chin, you know. But no, Manny Pacquiao, he's just a league on his own. It's crazy. I admire him so much, just like Floyd Mayweather, who is undefeated, who have won world titles in different weight classes. I mean, you have to respect that. You know, and it's incredible. It's crazy how they continue to compete at the highest level.
Me and Lars talked about it. We talk about it all the time. You know, Pacquiao's in a stage right now where a lot of young fighters want to fight him just to have him on his resume.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Did
absolutely.
You feel that towards the back end of your career?
Oh, yeah.
Like everybody wanted to have Oscar.
I was being chased by everybody, not just women. I was being chased by everybody, bro. It was crazy. But look, in order to get to that next level, like I just finished watching Errol Spence, who is probably one of my favorite fighters. Mm-hmm. Errol Spence versus Porter was a great fight. I was there live. It was a great, great fight, competitive fight. But in order to get to that next level, you know, the Floyd Mayweather level, the Manny Pacquiao level, the Oscar De La Hoya level, the Sugar Ray Leonard level, you have to fight some sort of like legend, you know, some fighter who's been there, who's done that, who's generated the pay-per-view numbers. And so, yeah, everybody's after Pacquiao, including Errol Spence.
Errol Spence, already called him out. Said
I mean, look, people are talking about Canelo and Pacquiao.
I know.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, we saw Spence. Everyone wants to see Spence Porter. And then, Spence Crawford. You want to see Bud Crawford Spence. Like, that's the fight. Yeah. But both of those guys in between that want to fight Pacquiao.
Of course. Like they want to make the money.
Right.
They want to make the money, and I don't blame them.
Uh-huh.
But look, I grew up in a generation where you don't think about the money. You think about, you know, your legacy, the championships, and then the money will come.
The money came. Know? The money came for you. I mean, it started when the Trinidad fight, we did you did 1.4 million pay-per-views.
Exactly.
And that sort of made you to be that marquee guy that can be put behind a pay-per-view card, which was crazy, which was, you know, absolutely important to you being able to do it going forward, because it wasn't a flash in the pan. You did another a million when you did the Mosley rematch.
Right.
Another million versus Hopkins. Is that weird having Hopkins kind of work for you now? Like the liver shot, does that kind of piss you off for people who don't know? It's one of those ones he rocked you with a liver shot.
You guys talk about it?
We actually do. We talk. I mean, every time I see him, you know, we hug each other, and he gives me a little left hook to the liver. I'm like, hey, take it easy, my man. Take it easy.
It's the most devastating punch in boxing.
Oh, it's the worst.
We had Bernard on the show last year.
It is the worst.
And he can talk about anything.
He can go on forever.
Yeah, oh, God. He did when he was here.
But hello.
But you think about how, we fought in the ring, but I mean, he's my business partner. You know, he's my friend. He's almost like a mentor, you know. This guy's like an almanac in the ring in boxing. He knows everything there is to know about boxing. I mean, talk about a disciplined human being. Hopkins is like the epitome of that.
He still looks great, too.
He does. Yeah, he's in great shape. He's a mentor for all these young kids that were signing, for instance, like Ryan Garcia. Yeah. He'll take him to the side and talk his ear off, man, literally for like 2 hours.
Did that to us.
I believe it.
Me and Lars looked at each other. We were just like, all right, you take it.
Sometimes you get like, we had Bud Crawford on, too, and it's sort of like, you know, he only wanted to talk about playing me in darts. And then Lomachenko, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, obviously, you're the type of guy that could, you know, kind of run radio shows and stuff.
I can talk to you about playing golf all day, right, man, if you want.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about this next fight with Canelo, right?
Yeah.
How much of a say do you have with Canelo's next opponents? Because to have him jump up to light heavyweight.
Right.
So for people who don't know, so Canelo Alvarez is jumping up, I think, two weight classes.
Which I don't recommend.
Yeah, we saw Garcia versus Spence, and we saw Garcia jump up to fight Spence and get just, I thought he was demolished. It wasn't a close fight when they fought down in Dallas.
Right.
So we're having Canelo Garcia when they fought Errol Spence.
Mikey Garcia,
I should be more specific. Why don't you stop that? Like, is that something that you can step in and say, no, Canelo, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you fighting light heavyweights.
I can influence it.
Right.
You know?
In what way, though?
Just by giving him other options, you know? I mean, I tried. I didn't recommend him jumping to weight classes because then he's going to have to try and come back down to 160 and fight Triple G.
Right.
Or fight the other guys like Demetrius Andrade.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of competition at 160 right now.
Okay.
So I didn't recommend jumping up to 175, but you have to give it up to him. I mean, it's like, Jesus, you want to really make history here, then you're fighting one of the toughest light heavyweights out there in his division. He just won the world title, Kovalev, by knocking out his opponent with a jab in the 11th round. So he still has it. He still has, you know, power. That power you never lose. So it's going to be a tough fight for him, but it's going to be even tougher going up in weight, you know, two divisions and handling that power.
This type of fight doesn't break him, though, right? Let's just say if he doesn't come out on the winning side.
I don't think it does. Okay. I don't think it does. I mean, look, he has one loss against Mayweather back in the day where he got outclassed. Mm-hmm. I think if he loses to Kovalev, he can always come back down to 160 or 168, and there's tons of challenges out there for him, like really big fights.
Good.
Yeah.
Which is what I thought with Usyk. Yeah. Like, Usyk moving up because cruiserweight had nothing else to provide for him.
Yeah.
So to go up to the heavyweights makes a lot of sense. I don't like this. Right. Like, I want Lomachenko to fight lighter. I want. So when you talk to Canelo, tell him that I told you that.
I will.
And then
I
we'll see if that.
I'll bring him down for you. You tell him face to face.
We're going to keep you. We're going to take a quick break. You're not going anywhere, right?
I'm here, brother. I'm here. All
right. We got Oscar De La Hoya, the Golden Boy, is in the house with us. The jump weight class is going back and forth. Yeah. Lars, you mentioned it. Yeah. You weren't for it, but you say, hey, if you're going to take on a challenge, let's rumble. It's a big jump for him.
It's a huge jump. And Kovalev standing next to Canelo, it's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what worries me is obviously the punching power, but the distance. Kovalev knows how to use his distance. Mm. That's going to be the issue. It's going to be a big problem for Canelo. But look, I mean, if you want to be great, you have to take
it.
The challenges, man. Yeah. Take them. And I mean, look, I don't think he'll lose anything if he does lose the fight. I think, look, he'll just go back down in weight and continue challenging the best fighters.
Before you go, Large, I just want to ask, just being, you know, a lot has talked about the Mexican fighter, right? You are obviously on the Mount Rushmore, one of the elite Mexican fighters, obviously up there with Chavez and on and on and on. You look at Canelo. What excites you about him?
I think what excites me is the challenges that he has in front of him for many years to come. I think boxing right now is more than alive and well. I think you know, every promoter out there, every manager, every fighter is doing just a great job. The networks, these different platforms, you know, like DAZN, who's has an amazing fall lineup coming up. I think boxing is here to stay. I mean, like as it's proved for many years in the past. So it excites me, that he has so many challenges in front of him, that creates these mega fights. You know, I mean, because Canelo's the man right now. He's the guy.
Yeah,
he's the guy in boxing. So whenever Canelo fights, we watch, and I'm glad that he has these tough challenges in front of him, so we can watch some great fights.
Mm. Yeah, you can argue. Like, we could argue intelligently who's the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, just like you can always argue who's the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
And by the way, I love Bud Crawford. I really do think that he's the best welterweight out there right now.
Okay, and which is...
And that's my opinion.
Not a hot take. I mean, the guy's fantastic, and I'm also big Loma guys, but if you're talking Loma, Crawford, and Canelo, and you want to argue that those three guys aren't in the conversation for best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, then you don't know boxing. But I think what also is inarguable is that the biggest draw in the world is Canelo Alvarez.
Right?
Yeah. So what's the biggest money fight? And this is a loaded question because I'm a Triple G fan. I like Triple G. I like his story. We've had him in here a couple of times. Yeah. Just a decent guy. English is okay. But, I mean, when do I get to see that third? I mean, can you tell us now, can I scoop this, that you're going to talk to Canelo about him not doing the fucking weight class thing again? I don't like it. And then can you let us know when the Triple G thing happens? Because he's getting up. He's 37.
Yeah, it's bound to happen. Right. Look, he's fighting this Saturday, I believe.
Yeah. Yes, he's fighting on the DAZN.
On the DAZN. He's fighting here at the Garden. Mm-hmm. It's for the IBF middleweight world title.
Canelo gave up.
That got Faking. Stripped.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That got stripped by. Yep. So I strongly feel that it depends on how he looks. I think everybody's saying that, you know, he's slipping, he's getting older, you know, his body's not responding, you know, like before. I think that if Triple G looks sensational, phenomenal,
like
inside the ring. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Then he makes the case that he deserves another shot at Canelo. So why not make it? Look, I come from the old school, you know, boxing where, look, you have to fight the best to be the best. And so why not make it again? A trilogy. Why not?
And it's a lot of money. I mean,
it's a lot of money. Yeah, it's a big money fight. Look, they had two fights together. You know, you can argue that Canelo won, that Triple G won, that maybe they draw the whatever. Yeah.
Adelaide Bird card was crazy.
Yeah, but a third fight, who doesn't want to be involved in a trilogy?
We had Triple G here, and we asked him. You can tell, like, he's, you know, obviously he's doing a lot for the DAZN, and he's getting ready for this fight. But me and Lars pressed him a little bit, and you can tell in the back of his head, there's Canelo owns. He's like, that's it. If he beats Canelo the next one, I could see Triple G and be like, I'm good. Like, I just don't want to fight.
Yeah,
you tell, like, he sleeps at night thinking about Canelo. Yeah,
exactly.
And we sit here, and I'm just like, listen, man, it's on you at this point.
Yeah. I seriously think that if Canelo and Triple G fight again, Canelo knocks him out.
Yeah, so
I really do feel
because
that.
You see Canelo getting stronger.
He's just
getting
better.
The guy looks—he's a goddamn animal. And yeah. To your point, Triple G has lost a fight, but just like anyone has a puncher's chance,
right?
Including Kovalev,
exactly.
I mean, a big Kovalev guy's got a big puncher's chance to possibly hurt Canelo. That's why I don't like it again. But yeah, I mean, I just want to see the fight. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the whole thing. But I can understand your argument. It just seems like Canelo is getting better. Which
is crazy
to think about this kid. But he started fighting when he was out of the womb, but he's getting better. Before we switch gears, I just want to make sure for the rest of your stable of fighters. So Garcia. You're kind of keeping him, you know, what's going to be his big breakout fight? How far are we away from seeing him fight somebody?
I feel that this fight against Romero Duno, he's fighting this Filipino kid on the undercard, is a fight that is going to break him through. You know, a lot of people are saying that Duno's going to win. A lot of people are, you know, a lot of, you know, boxing,
assholes.
Critics.
Aficionados. Yeah.
Aficionados are saying that he has a great shot, that this is his first real test. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I totally agree. But
I've watched Garcia fight. Yeah. I mean, the kid is talented. Obviously,
he has
the look.
Fast.
He's marketable.
He's fast.
But when you look at him, you just said it. You know, the best fight's the best.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
At this point, we want to see him go.
Yeah.
We want to see him
ready.
Go against the best.
I truly feel that he is ready. I mean, look, this kid here, I don't know how many followers he has. He's like one of these social media sensations, you know?
He's Bieber.
And he just signed. He just signed with WME, William Morris Agency. Yeah. So we're gonna see him in Calvin Klein and this and that, da da da. Yeah. But the girls love him. They love, and so it's a whole new audience for boxing, which is great. It's a whole new demographic, which is amazing. Which is I'm all for. But it's like you have to fight. You have to prove yourself, and he is. I think this fight here in November 2nd against Duno is gonna show us what he's all about. And I strongly feel that Ryan Garcia can be bigger than Canelo.
Well, wow. I mean, there's always a shot at that because he fights lightweight, right?
He fight lightweight, and he's probably taller than I am.
Yeah, so he's a taller kid who fights
he's
lightweight,
a big kid,
so he
yeah.
has the opportunity to add muscles.
He's from LA.
He's from LA.
But he also has, and you mentioned too before, you alluded to it, this spoiled son of a bitch has the opportunity to go into the gym every day and talk to Bernard Hopkins when he gets out of the rings about what he did. He gets to fight in the shadow of Canelo Alvarez.
Right, that's what I was going
to
say.
The training camps and stuff.
Exactly. They have the same trainer.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a huge benefit. You know,
he has every advantage in the book.
Spoiled,
you know.
He is spoiled. I mean, for you, like who? And I just throw this out there, and I know it's easy for you to say Chavez, but when you were coming up through the ranks and you were the next big thing coming out of boxing, who were you looking at? Who was the guy you said, you know what?
I was looking at Pernell Whitaker.
Yeah.
Because I was part of a stable. Of fighters that came out of the 1984 Olympic Games, like Pernell Whitaker, like Meldrick Taylor, Evander Holyfield.
Taylor,
I mean, those guys were my heroes, man. I mean, obviously, Julio Cesar Chavez.
Yeah.
I remember my father taking me as a little kid to these local bars, you know, and watching Julio Cesar Chavez fights.
Yeah.
Think about that, Lars.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, son, you want to go to the game? No, fuck that. We're going to see Chavez fight at the
local
puppets
bar,
down the block.
We just go to movie theaters, and then they'd have it close circuit to movie theaters.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then just before we get away from your stable, I like calling it a stable. So outside of Canelo, outside of Ryan, and outside of Jamie, we'll take Jamie as one of the big guys too, Jamie Munguia. Who's the guy that we don't know about?
Why
aren't there any goddamn heavyweights?
Well, I'm sure you know about this kid, Virgil Ortiz, who is probably the best one out of all of them.
Okay. Welterweight kid, 14-0.
Oh, my gosh. This kid is 14-0, 14 knockouts. The speed, the power. He just fought in Dallas against this really, really tough kid with one loss. And this kid is the real deal, man. I'm really excited about this kid. This is the kid.
What class is he again?
Welterweight. Welterweight. So, and he's probably gonna be end up at a 60-pounder, a 160-pounder, but anybody at welterweight, watch out.
Wow.
Yeah. This kid is the real deal. Yeah.
I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah.
Now, so we had, so you've done everything. You had a clothing line for a little while. You dropped
it. Here and there. Yeah,
you dropped
there.
A terrible Latin pop album.
Come on, brother.
Yeah.
Come on.
You sold six of them.
Grammy nominated.
It was Grammy nominated.
Yeah, but I heard that you paid somebody off for that.
Well, you're giving me too much credit that I only sold five. Come on.
I got one here. We're going to have to sign it.
Wait, but I still have like thousands in my garage. Yeah. Like, what do I do with them?
But send us a case.
But like you hosted the reality show, the boxing reality show. There's a lot of stuff that you've done outside of being a fighter.
Aside from boxing and, you know, all the norm things that athletes do, like, you know, clothing lines or this and that. But
did you do Dancing with the Stars?
No, never did. Okay. I got asked, like, I still get asked, but I got two left feet.
Did you hear what happened to Ray Lewis? He cut the tendon in front of his foot. Oh, yes. And a tap.
Yeah.
Man, played 12 years and tapped with Dancing with the Stars.
I wouldn't do that. But yeah, I'm involved in, I love philanthropy. I mean, it's like I love giving back. I love it. You know, it's part of my life, man. And so business as well. You know,
But it's also the video game covers, the statue outside of the Staples Center.
So it's been a pretty cool life, man. Right. Yeah, it's been a pretty cool life.
Let's talk about MMA. So you had gone in, you would dip your toe into the MMA thing. Yeah. We had Dana White in here.
Yeah,
he'd said terrible things. He said play for people. So we have Oscar De La Hoya in the studio right now. Yeah. We'll play the quip real quick about from Dana White. I respect De La Hoya a lot.
Oh, come on. What do you respect about De La Hoya? He's an asshole.
As a fighter, he always got in the ring with guys.
He was a good guy. As a human being,
he's an asshole.
Right. Everybody tries to give this guy credit and respect and all this shit. He's a liar. He's a fucking moron.
Right.
And leading up to that fight, he's talking about he takes care of his fighters. There were guys on that card that made $1,000 and $1,000. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I don't pay guys $1,000 and $1,000. I don't know if we ever paid guys $1,000 and $1,000 since we owned the company. Even when we were $33 million in the hole.
I touched a little nerve here.
No, you didn't. I'm not mad at all.
Don't you fucking no, I swear hit me, Dana.
but this guy, it drives me crazy when people say, oh, but listen, what do you respect about De La Hoya?
Listen, the guy
fought fucking 20 years ago.
So I had just posited
the question. My God, did that send him off on a naked rampage?
Well, that's Dana White for you. I mean, he's what we call a bully. You know, one of those guys that has to bully you to get his way. Mm. I mean, that's the bottom line. Why do you think all his fighters or a lot of these fighters are not happy with their contracts, with how they get treated? Mm-hmm. Look, I tried, or actually, I am gonna get involved in the MMA. I'm working on something.
So that's gonna happen.
Oh, I'm working on something very exciting.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'm gonna get a lot of heat from Dana White. but look, it creates opportunities. Look, you have Bellator, mm-hmm. you have the UFC who wanna monopolize the whole industry, and with Dana White being the cheerleader. But there's always room for another player. Why not? Cool. I mean, you give these fighters opportunities, and you create opportunities for fighters, and therefore you create big fights that the fans want to watch. So, look, it's that's who Dana White is. I mean, I'm not gonna obviously admire what the Fertitta brothers have accomplished, what they did, where they took the company. Obviously, it wasn't Dana White. It's the Fertitta brothers who have the brains, mm-hmm. who took this company to a whole new level and sold it off for $4 billion.
Wow.
You know, Dana White was just the best friend of the brainchild. You know, so I look, what he's done is great, and I respect him. And we did an MMA show which was successful. A lot of people loved it in LA.
Okay.
It was two name fighters over the hill, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, but it was just a great atmosphere, a great event. And I said to myself, wow, you know what? I think we have something here. We know how to promote. We know the industry. Let's try it. So we're working on something pretty big right now.
Is there any way I could get you and Dana in the ring?
I'll beat the shit out of him. Come on.
<There you go. laughs> Dana White versus Oscar De La Hoya, brother. Rough and Rowdy, in Providence on November 23rd.
I mean, not in the octagon.
Not in the octagon.
I mean, he'll beat the crap out of me, but in the ring.
Do you think that's true? Do you think that, you know, when you go to MMA, UFC type stuff, do you think that, and we use Dana White as an example, but I was too joking, but when you see like the Conor McGregors of the world and stuff like that, are you on the impression that, obviously, in your prime and stuff like that, that guy wouldn't have held a chance against you if he was in boxing rules also? Boxers beat MMA guys
it's
when
different.
They can't use their feet.
It's different. Look, I mean, if box the best boxer on the planet were to go into the octagon, then you easily get beat.
Well, Floyd said that, right? There's a viral clip of some lady asking him about him possibly ever getting to him being, you know, jumping in the octagon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Floyd was like, "I'm a boxer.
Yeah,
if I am.
I don't use my feet.
And there's respect. I mean, there's respect. And look, I respect MMA. I respect, you know, what those MMA fighters do. And I mean, imagine you have to, they're probably one of the best well-oiled machines out there, like, you know, athletes out there. When you have to practice like four different, you know, styles, you know, and it's crazy. It really is. I thought boxers were in great shape. I mean, MMA fighters are in tremendous shape.
Yeah. In fact, you're getting dumped on your neck.
How come no heavyweights? How come Oscar De La Hoya? I mean, if I look on the Golden Boy page, which I just did, I have Mihai Nestor, who hasn't fought yet. So it seems like one of these guys, Eastern European type dudes.
Yeah.
How come no heavyweights for Oscar De La Hoya?
We're working on it. We tend to focus more on the middleweight division now, the lighter weight classes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because it's a younger division? It's just younger kids.
Yeah, just more exciting. Longevity. There's more of a pool you can choose from. You know, there's a lot of talent out there. A lot of talent. But now, look, the heavyweight division, because of Wilder, because of Fury, it's like it's becoming alive now.
Yeah.
So
do you feel like you did Ruiz a disservice? Felt like a Mexican guy, and you didn't have him in your family. We haven't had a Mexican world champion.
No, he was promoted by Top Rank.
Right.
He was actually groomed. From the beginning, from his first fight, with Top Rank. So I had no input in his career there whatsoever.
Right. Just seems like since that division, it's kind of the straw that stirs the drink for the people who aren't the big boxing fans. It brings him in, and then it filters down to where you're saying when you get the middleweights who have the ability to actually move and punch.
Right.
Like, I totally get that, but just love to see you kind of be in there on a heavyweight fight.
We'll get there. Yeah. I'm still young.
Yeah, I can't come out of retirement. I still got the weight behind me though.
So go back to the Canelo Kovalev fight. Obviously, this is going down.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Kovalev. It looks like a reach for him. Obviously, Canelo's doing it because he wants a challenge.
Yeah.
But Kovalev is a little seasoned, a little older.
Yeah, he's seasoned. Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, he just won his last fight.
34-3-1.
Right. He's won his last fight. Is there any concern from Kovalev's camp that this may go bad? Because obviously it's Canelo, right?
We just
talking, he's the Godzilla of boxing right now. What's the need? Is it just because of money for him, or is it because he's taking on a challenge like Canelo?
He's also taking the challenge.
Okay,
and obviously he's making.
So I'm really asking the mindset. What's the mindset for Kovalev?
He wants to beat the man.
Okay,
you know, he wants to beat the man. I mean, there's a point of in time, maybe like 10 years ago, where they sparred together.
Kovalev
and Canelo.
Really?
And Kovalev obviously got the best of him. You know, Canelo was not experienced, and Kovalev was like Kovalev when he beat Bernard Hopkins, you know, and he was like, I mean, top of the world.
He's a monster.
Yeah. And so, look, Canelo wants to get revenge. Kovalev obviously wants to get respect
and beat the man.
They know each other. They know their style. So this is what makes it interesting is that Kovalev knows that he has that strong jab, and Canelo sometimes can't move away from that jab. Mm. So there's something there. But also Canelo watching Ward versus, by the way, another great technician and fighter Ward, who I believe retired too early.
Too early, yeah. But he had Kovalev's number.
Exactly. So he was working the body. He stops Kovalev to the body.
Right.
So there's something that Canelo saw.
Okay.
And called us up and said, "Hey, I want to fight Kovalev. I can maybe stop him to the body and make history." And there we go. So we'll see.
I'm gonna sum up real quick.
You got 1 minute.
You got November 2nd.
Yes.
Yeah. Canelo Alvarez versus Sergey Kovalev.
Yeah.
And we're going to be waiting in anticipation to see why the hell he's fighting light heavyweight. Kovalev has a puncher's chance.
Yeah, he does.
We got Danny Garcia fighting on the undercard, and that's going to
Ryan,
be
Ryan Garcia.
No, not, not Danny. It's too many goddamn Garcias. I said it. So he's fighting on the undercard, and that's going to be his first big challenge. Yeah. We're keeping an eye on Virgil Ortiz Jr. Specifically, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're waiting for you versus Dana White in some sort of octagon, which is going to happen.
Well, not octagon. I wouldn't even dare go into the octagon.
Triple G fights this weekend, both. And it depends on Triple G versus Devonchenko. If we see good performance out of Triple G,
why not?
Then the talks just kind of get better for the Canelo fight.
Exactly.
And then finally, do we see you put your name on a ticket for the presidential candidate in 2020? Is there any interest in that?
I think that's over with.
Are you sure?
I truly think Trump is going to win again.
You do, right?
Yeah. I do too.
I mean, come on. Yeah. You can't. He's unstoppable. You can't stop him.
He's a juggernaut.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, our economy is the best it's been in a long time.
Oscar De La Hoya of politics.
Throw it out there one more time. Real men real men wear pink.
Yes. Real men wear pink.
You threw up $11 million, right?
What's that?
You raised $11 million.
There's this initiative now that we're raising money, and so and what's great is that part of the proceeds are going to be going to the Cecilia De La Hoya Cancer Center, which we built there in Los Angeles in memory of my mother, who passed away from cancer. So let's get this going, man. Let's create awareness. Real men wear pink.
That was it for this week's Second Helping, and remember to go out to your local convenience store and get yourself a Pillsbury stuffed waffle.